Welcome to Lipstick Bitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to another episode of the Lipstick Biddies podcast, y'all. I've been having so much cool shit happening in my life recently. Some I can talk about, some I can't talk about. First of all, thank you all for all of you who celebrated my birthday with me, all of the texts, all the calls, the reposts, any of you that were able to pick up one of the birthday bundles for the merch store, which, by the way, we still have a few of them. I put together some very special bundles of my favorite stickers and also the limited edition stickers. We still have, like, I think we only have like two left of those for a special discounted price in the merch store at lipstickbiddies.com for my birthday. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. And of course, if you'd like to support this podcast, the best way you could do that is shout it from the rooftops, repost any of our posts that you see about this episode, anything you learned or loved, take a screenshot and tag me and our guests and let us know what you thought of this episode. Of course, if you'd like to be even more involved in this community, we have a Discord now. The link is in the show notes. Please join us. There are so many fun conversations we're having. There's job postings going around, collaborations, and you could sign up for free and join us. So make sure to check that out. And if you'd like to be involved in a more tangible way and support your girl by joining the Patreon, that is what helps this community and podcast and platform keep running and doing so in a better and more tangible way. We have editors now involved and things like that. And that is all because of the patrons who have been able to support me. So it is a very small monthly donation, starting at $5 a month, different tiers, and you get different perks at each tier. And you get monthly bonus episodes at every tier. We also do monthly virtual meetups and makeup classes. One of the things that you do receive when you sign up for the Patreon is an Instagram and a podcast shout out. So welcome to our newest patron at Celeste Switala Beauty. Thank you so much for supporting, and all of you who are already in the Patreon, you know how incredible it is, and I love and appreciate you all. So let's get into who our special guest is today, because y'all, she is a fucking legend in the industry. Terry Tomlinson is here today. So you can find Terry on Instagram, at TikTok, at Terry Tomlinson Makeup. You may know her as the Queen of Color Theory. She is an educator. She has been a makeup artist in the industry for years and years and years. And she loves giving her hot takes on TikTok about viral trends that she just seen enough of. She's sick of it. And she is literally iconic. I have taken her color theory classes. She is the inventor of the flesh-toned color wheel, which, if you do not have one, whether you're a pro or a makeup enthusiast, you need to pick one up. It is going to make your makeup applications just, and your understanding of color theory, just it makes it so easy. And we talk about it in this episode. So not only are we talking about her and her career, we're talking about how TikTok saved her business, her journey and passion for color theory, how she kind of came into that space, and why she is such a proponent for color theory in her educational content, how she came up with the flesh tone color wheels. And like I said, we're talking about her thoughts on the fly-by-night trending makeup techniques that we love to hate on social media. Make sure to give Terry a follow. If you are a professional makeup artist, please consider signing up for one of her courses. She does online courses. They are incredible. Everything is going to be in the show notes, of course. And I hope you guys love this episode. I like laughed my ass off when I was editing this. So I know you guys are really going to love this episode. So enjoy, and I will talk to you on the flip side. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. It is your host, Rachel, speaking, the head biddy. Of course, I'm here today with a very special guest that I have been so wanting to be on this podcast for so long, and she said yes. I'm here with the amazing, fabulous Terry Tomlinson. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi. Hi, fellow Biddy.
She is the queen of color theory. You probably, Biddies, you like, I feel like I've plugged you, Terry, in like so many episodes talking about color theory, talking about the flesh tone color wheel. I feel like you really don't need an introduction for the pro artist, but there are a lot of makeup enthusiasts that listen to me as well. So are you able to just introduce yourself to people that may be new to you for the very first time, a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. So I have been a working makeup artist now for over 30 years. I'm one of those very fortunate people that is still in the same career I started. And I started in college. I started in retail with just kind of a summer job. And I accidentally got put at a cosmetic counter and I just stayed there. And 20 years ago, I moved over into production. So I like to introduce myself as a working makeup artist, educator, and I also own Makeup Training Academy. Because in 2010, when we were going through a rough economic patch, I started education because there just wasn't a lot of offerings here in Texas. And I felt like you should be able to get professional education here. And so I started working as an educator and started my school. And that's kind of led me to where we are now.
And she also offers like bite-sized, like educational content on her TikTok. Like, I love seeing you on like TikTok and Instagram Reels. Like, how's that been for you? I feel like that's like such a new platform for so many like professional working makeup artists that may have been like in the industry for a while. How would that even come about? Where you just like one day you're like, I need to start making TikToks.
Well, it kind of happened that way because I was doing a lot of Facebook, and Facebook is kind of my generation's social media platform. But I was moving on to Instagram and I wasn't getting a lot of action on Instagram at all. And then one day during the pandemic, I came into my studio, I was all by myself working in my studio, and I had like 20 wheel orders. So, you know, I'm very known for my flesh tone color wheel. Mm-hmm. And I had 20 orders for wheels, which at the time during the pandemic was huge. And so I filled them all. I had no idea why I'd had so many orders. And then by the end of the day, I had like 20 more.
Stop. That's awesome.
So the next day, this makeup artist in LA that I had trained when I was out there reached out to me and she was like, I did this TikTok video and it's gone viral. And so you might be seeing some orders. And I swear, I think I sold 300 or 400 wheels in a week. And she reached out to me. She was like, Terry, you've got to get on TikTok. And, you know, during the pandemic, we were all struggling to make ends meet, to pay rent and to just keep things going. And so she and I had some phone conversations and she showed me the basics and I got on TikTok. And TikTok like saved my business during the pandemic. And I have really found a wonderful place there. I can present my education. And I know I'm this old lady who, you know, gets on a soapbox about like blending or contouring or whatever, but I've really had a great reception and I'm having a lot of fun. And so I've just stayed on TikTok and it's really made my Instagram a lot better too. So it's been super fun. I'm much more into social media than I've ever been. And I know I was late to the party.
I mean, but the thing is, like, I feel like maybe that comes, are you from Texas originally or where are you from?
Yes. So yeah. I grew up in Fort Worth and I moved to Dallas as soon as I could.
So like, I think that it also comes from like the Southern, like, hospitality kind of like way that you carry yourself, because it's something that like I noticed when I moved to the South from New York. I've been living in Atlanta for 4 years. The way that people can give you like the most like nasty like read, but they do it with like the smile on their face and like the cadence in which they talk. It's like, are you like reading me or are you like, you know, giving me a compliment? So I feel like almost when I watch her videos, I'm like, oh, she's such like a Southern lady. Like the way that you speak is very much like that.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably passive aggressive, but yes, that's definitely the way I am. And I try to always be kind but I don't have a very good poker face. So if you ask me a question, I won't lie to you, but I will try to say something positive. But usually you can tell by my face that I'm not liking something, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's a Southern thing.
That's how I am too. That's it's funny though, because it's like when I get on and I rant, people are like, "Oh, she's ranting," but it's like Terry's like, you know, giving us education. But I think it's also because everybody holds you in such high regard because we know you've been in the industry for so many years and like you know your shit. So it's like, coming from you, it's a little bit different when it's like coming from me, someone that's like, you know, newer in the industry. I wouldn't call myself a new artist. I've been in the industry for 6 years, but that is like, you know, a drop in the bucket when it comes to like a lifetime career. So speaking about like your evolution as a makeup artist, and we kind of touched on the flesh tone color wheel. I feel like a lot of your education, which I actually took one of your color theory courses during the pandemic, which was like amazing. And I have the flesh tone color wheel, of course. I feel like if you're a makeup artist or even if you're a beauty enthusiast and you want to learn more about ways to make your makeup really like up level, you got to get the flesh tone color wheel. And we'll include all the information in the bio, by the way. Terry will like all the links to everything so that you guys can pick one up. But I just wanted to know, like, so when did you feel like your career kind of like took a focus into color theory? Like, what does color theory mean to you, and why focus on that for like the meat and potatoes of your like educational content?
Well, it was so interesting because I started Makeup Training Academy in 2010, and I knew I wanted to have color theory as part of my education, but I never got color theory when I went to professional makeup school. It was like implied and it was kind of in there, but we never talked about it specifically. But for some reason, and I can't remember what it was, but I knew that I wanted to teach color theory. And I think it's because I was working with Krylon correctors. And so I knew color correction was based on color theory. So I put this really basic color theory kind of, you know, lesson in my class, and it was good. I used products that were broken down by level and undertone, and I gave my students a palette of correctors that said blue corrector, level one, level two, red corrector, level one, level two, and they worked really well with it. And then in 2014, I changed out the products I was using for my students. And so instead of having things that were beautifully labeled, they just got a palette of skin tones. And I was like, all right, let's get to it. Because I was kind of bored with the old products. And I discovered MAC Pro in Paris. I love their Fard Cream. I love the potential you have with it. And so I started teaching with this more advanced product. And none of my students could get color theory. I mean, it was a disaster. And so I was like, hey, this is a thing. And it's important. And so I somehow, by some magical moment of creative genius, came up with the wheel. And when I started teaching with the wheel, it completely changed how I did makeup. Because everything I do is in skin tone, mm-hmm. flesh tone. And it's like I had this huge evolution in my application and my just technical abilities. And so it became a focus of my classes just naturally. And I started creating content and I started creating education around color theory and flesh tone. And really, that's when I became well known. Before in the industry, like some people knew who I was, but I was basically just this like makeup artist from Dallas. But the wheel's what really gave me the legs to get more recognition nationally, because I was doing something different, but it was really important. And so it's something I'm almost obsessed with. Like, I study color all the time. Color theory is the most amazing thing. I use it in every aspect of my makeup work now.
Yeah, same. And it was something that was, it was taught to me in school, but it was really hard for me to grasp. And my mom, I remember when she was like, she's really into interior decorating, for example. And she'd be like, you need to like look through the color. Like she was trying to help me with my color theory as a makeup artist with like paint swatches. She was like, you know, you need to look through the gray. Is it a blue gray or is it a green gray? And I was just like,
that's great.
Yeah, you know, she was like, you need to look through the color. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, mom? But when I discovered your flesh tone color wheel was when everything kind of clicked into place. It was really hard for me to grasp because you're looking at, so I guess let me just pause for a second, because I know a lot of people who listen may not be professional makeup artists and are beauty enthusiasts or like everyday people. Can you just like in like layman's term, describe what the flesh tone color wheel is and maybe like what an actual color wheel is, like comparatively?
Sure. So yeah, a color wheel is just, it's like a calculator for seeing how color works, and you work it the way you would a calculator in a way, right? It's just a color wheel, and it shows you how color behaves together and how you can manipulate color. And what I did was I created a color wheel of browns, a color wheel of skins, a color wheel of neutrals. It's a brown color wheel. But what it gives you is it gives you the ability to see skin in every possible undertone that exists. And so now we can see skin tone and undertone as all these variations. And so it allows you to really see the undertone of skin, and then you can work it like you work a calculator. You can use the wheel to find out what's warm and cool, what's going to complement a certain color, how to neutralize color, how to build a color story based on color theory. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a visual for all this stuff that we used to do in our heads. And because it is a physical thing that you can look at, it gives you a lot more ability to go deeper into color theory.
Yeah. And so Biddies, like I said, we're going to put this in the show notes, and like, we'll, you know, the week this airs, we always have like highlight reels about it so that you can see like the visual of it, because I know that this is like, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that like also is kind of visual. But basically, like on the color wheel, she has the like flesh, she has like the regular colors on the inside, and then the brown and flesh tones around it. So basically it's easy, like for someone like me who had I was struggling for like finding undertones. So once I had the flesh tone color wheel and was able to look and be like, oh, so that's what they mean when they say yellow undertones or blue undertones, because I was able to see an actual skin tone color right next to it. And then when I'm in front of a model, now I can, like, at first I actually used to take the color wheel with me and actually hold it up against a client's face. And, like, there's nothing wrong about that. Like, that's the way that you learn. But, like, now it just made it, it's, like, absolutely genius, like, what you did, and totally changed the game for me and I'm sure so many other artists. And then, like, you were saying, like, the color stories. So, like, things like doing your eye makeup, ways to make your eyes sparkle based on your eye color. You could just like look at the color wheel. It's incredible. And I feel like people sleep on color theory. Like what do you think about that? Do you think that people, I think that the best makeup artists do have a strong foundation with color theory.
I do too, but I still train existing makeup artists. I train mm-hmm. veteran makeup artists. And I think because they do it in their head so much, sometimes to put it out in front of them and to really ask them to look at it and work with intention with color theory is challenging. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that we've kind of, a lot of people practice it naturally. It just, like, they know that something orange is going to neutralize something blue. Well, we have blue things under our eyes, right? Dark circles are usually blue tones. So we know something orange is going to make that go away. And so I think a lot of makeup artists kind of work intuitively with color theory. But when I ask them to really work with intention and to be very aware of it, there's still a lot of learning to do. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing tool for everybody, even the non-makeup artist. I teach my clients color theory. I tell them what undertone their skin is. I always have my wheel with me, like you said. And I'm like, so if you want to make your blue eyes sparkle, we can do these brown eyeshadows. And because the wheel is simply a wheel of brown colors that have different undertones, you can kind of show them, like, these are the kind of brown eyeshadows that are going to make your eyes pop. And these are the neutral blushes that you can use. And here's the best nude lipstick for you. So, I mean, it's really cool. It's awesome.
You did a whole series, I remember, on TikTok that was like browns for blue eyes, browns for green eyes. That was incredible, especially because I've had people on here like Sarah Moss, who's a bridal makeup artist. And she's like, that's literally like how I feel like she's built her bridal business, is because she doesn't do the same cookie cutter. Like, because most people that she gets booked with want neutral eyes. And the reason why she gets booked again and again is because she's not doing a cookie cutter, like taupe, you know, like brown neutral. She's like picking the neutrals based on the client's eye color, and they can't put a finger on it why it looks so good. But
right.
She's, actually using the color theory within like her makeup applications.
Which is what everybody should be doing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all be working that way with our clients and not doing cookie cutter makeup and really thinking about the person in your chair. Like that face is completely unique. You might never see a face like that again. So how are you addressing that face that you're working on? And we see a lot of kind of the same makeup being applied over and over and over and over. And it's just not fucking right, you know?
Yes. I always like try to like time how long it takes for someone to drop the F-bomb when we record. Yay. We got to
Once I break the seal, like, you know, who knows how many will come out of me now. But
yes. Oh, my
gosh. It makes me crazy. Love it. It makes me crazy.
So let's talk about the importance of, like, choosing, like, products for your kit, like, you know, your skin tones and your undertones. Are you, like, an advocate for someone, like, carrying, like, a lot of different shades? Are you someone that, like, always is, like, mix? Or does it depend on the artist?
Well, I think it depends on the artist, but I think that the fewer choices you have and the more theoretical understanding you have of light theory and color theory, then the more efficient you are. Because if I have 20 shades of foundation, I'm going to spend a lot of time rooting around those 20 shades, trying to find the shade that matches the client. So I give myself 6 colors of makeup. That's all I carry. And then I carry a little color theory palette. And it allows me to take those 6 colors and make them any color I want. So I would rather mix, keep my kit nice and tight, small, and manipulate the products that I know work and I know how to make them work, rather than just have a bunch of bulky shit in my kit to keep up with and to have to dig through and carry around. I think the makeup artists I know that are the most chaotic have way too much stuff and they can't make a decision or they can't find things or they don't know what to use because they're so overwhelmed with all the crap around them. So that's my philosophy.
Right. Too many choices. So a lot of makeup artists like are like nervous to like, you know, like take away all those options. Maybe, you know, like whether or not they have like a grasp in color theory. If someone's like, feel like me, like where they feel like they can't get like a grasp on it, like where do you think that they should like start with like practicing color theory? Like, do you have any like exercises like you could do at home? Maybe like some insight. I know you offer like classes, obviously, you know, for the listeners, like something that they might be able to do at home to kind of strengthen their color theory knowledge.
Yes. But first, I want to say that if you are a newer makeup artist and you're putting together a kit, instead of going for the latest, greatest social media consumer brand that everybody might be talking about or using, work with pro brands and work with products that you can manipulate. Get a good cream palette that maybe has 8 or 12 or 16 options in it. Because a good cream palette, you can sheer and you can build to full coverage. And find a really good liquid makeup and get 4 or 5 shades and start there and make sure you have the ability to adjust. So you need to have some way to make something warmer or cooler, lighter or darker. And from there, start learning about color theory and practicing. And I think the best way to do that at home is start looking at the products that you have. So take whatever palette or whatever foundation product that you work with. And you should know what the undertone is of each one of those products, right? And how light or dark is it? And start studying those things and playing with them and looking with them at the, looking at them, not looking with them. They don't have eyes. Because the more you know and study your kit, the better you are when you get on to a job. And definitely having the wheels going to help you. I do have online classes. But I think step one is be curious about the color of the things in your kit and find out what color they are.
Yeah, I love you also did a series on TikTok. I feel like that you like just like picked you just picked random items and you were like, this pumpkin has like a yellow undertone. I don't know. You like picked random objects and I was like, that's kind of like what I do too. I'm like, ooh, look at this flower. Like, is it a violet blue or is it like a green blue? Like that kind of stuff. Being curious about like the world around you.
Yes, yes. And study color everywhere you go and look at the skins that are around you. What color are they? And, but yes, and that's great. I love doing that. And I'm terrible about it. I'm like, that blue, green, gray wall color really washes me out, you know?
Yeah. And like people also like, you know, aside from the actual makeup application, aside from like foundations and stuff, I feel like people also like forget to acknowledge the way that things like the clothes you wear, the backdrops you're using for a photo shoot, or if you're a content creator, if you're a content creator and you're doing makeup on yourself, if you have like a tan backdrop versus like a gray backdrop, depending on the color of your skin, you could be completely washing yourself out.
Right, right. Color is so powerful. It really is. And I think the more we think about it and the more we kind of actively study it, then the better we are, right? Because we are paying attention to the colors around us. And color borrows. I mean, it just borrows. If I put on purple eyeshadow, I suddenly have the darkest, deep blue-violet circles ever. Mm-hmm. And so I avoid that, right? Because I know it'll borrow. My lips have gotten darker as I've gotten older. And so if I put on anything that has a cool pink, within 20, 30 minutes, I've got like that old grainy color, that berry pink lip. So we have to like pay attention to the color around us and what color things are.
And then like when we get more advanced into it, like looking at the way your clients, like the color of their hair, plus the undertone of their skin, plus their eye color, and like picking makeups based on that, like really like will like make your makeup stand right out.
How elevated is that? I mean, to me, that is so elevated. And that's really kind of the pinnacle of a working professional, is that those are things that they naturally take into consideration because they understand that the person in their chair is a completely unique individual. And so every aspect of what they do has to be considered. And I think that's a beautiful way to work, because it helps you customize everything to the color of the person that's in your chair.
Right. I did like a bridal trial actually like 2 weeks ago, and I feel like I haven't done a bridal trial in like over a year. It's been a long time because I stopped taking brides. But we, you know, she's like more of a natural bride. So we did a neutral lip, and I was like, can we just like do like a color just like for funsies, and we'll take a picture and we'll like, you know, compare. And she has like reddish blonde hair and blue eyes. And I picked this like berry color for her lip. And like, I was looking at the picture, and I just geek out on color theory, because I was like, oh my God, like that color just made like her eyes and her hair look like she just got like her hair done or something like that, like a gloss. Or it was like, and wow. When you start doing that and like you compare, especially if you can like get a friend to come by and like compare, you know, and like we're looking at the pictures like side by side, how much brighter her eyes look, how much more like bright her hair looked, the neutral versus like the berry lip, she was like, oh yeah, we're gonna go with the berry. And I was like, yes.
nice. Well, it's like blue. So blue's a really powerful, strong color, and I always try to put a little blue around everybody's eyes, even if it's a dark navy blue liner or a little smudge or some blue mascara on the tips, because blue always makes white look bright. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of my secret tricks, is that I'll get a little blue around your eyes somewhere, even if you can't see it, and it makes the eyes pop because the whites of your eyes suddenly look whiter. So it's those little things, right? Like picking a lipstick that maybe brings out the cool blue tones of their eyes. And I mean, it's so damn fun.
Yeah.
I think that's why makeup's still fun for me.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that about the blue with the eyes. Cause I remember there was like a time, like when I first started doing my makeup was like, I don't know, 2000, like when I was in like high school, 2006, I graduated high school. But I remember like what was really popular was like a blue tinted like lip gloss, because it made your teeth whiter. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know about all that, but like my struggle always at the counters, like I don't know which brand you worked for, but like my counters, like that I was working luxury like retail makeup when I first got here for like about a year, most of my clients were like older women, and they all love that like cobalt blue, like bright blue, and like for me to like, I'll talk them down to a navy. and then they just see how much like softer it can look, but still give them this, because I think that they just like that brightness that it gives. But I was like, I think they're onto something. I think that we've been sleeping on blue for a while. Like I feel like I haven't used blue in my makeups like on the eye as much as I probably should be.
Well, and it's interesting, so I always wear blue mascara because my eyelashes are white, And it really shows up on me. And I get comments on my eyes all the time when I have blue mascara on. And I've always wondered why blue mascara wasn't more popular. But just recently, a very well-known makeup brand started promoting a blue mascara. So I bet you money that in the next few months, we're going to see blue mascara being the new hot trend, even though it's been around forever. So maybe blue will come back into vogue.
I think so that like colored mascaras are like making a comeback. I mean, all like trends, like, you know, trends cycle in and out. I remember wearing blue mascara like in high school and it was like super, super popular. And now it's coming back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm back in high school with all the colorful mascara.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
But talking about trends, I know that like one of my favorite things about watching you on like TikTok and on Instagram Reels is when you kind of like debunk like trends or break trends down, like why this like wouldn't actually work for everybody. What kind of like sparked that? Was there like one trend they were like, I got to talk about this? Or you were like how like when were you like, I got to talk about this now?
Well, it's probably some of that Southern charm you were talking about earlier, Rachel, but I get so frustrated when I see the way social media grabs a trend and suddenly everybody has to do it. And I just think that there's been this kind of gentrification. Is that the right word? No, that's not the right word. Sorry. Makeup has become very generic. Like everybody's supposed to have the same thing. Everybody should have a contour and a highlight, 16,000 layers of crap on their face. And it kind of gets annoying and I get a little frustrated. So the videos you see are like when my head explodes finally, you know, from being just frustrated with the latest trend. And so I do try to educate on why things will and will not work and who they're really meant for. And those videos tend to do very well. And it always makes me feel better to express myself because things that are trending, things that get really popularized on social media, most of those things are not brand new. They're just things that are suddenly like cycling on social media. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be smarter than social media because, you know, I think recently it was like pink powders, right? Everybody was like, oh my God, pink powders. And they were putting pink powders all over their face. They were eating pink powder. They were snorting pink powder. It was ridiculous. And of course, everybody loved it. They're like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I love it. But pink powders have been around forever. And ever since color cameras and color movies came out, and they serve a purpose, but they're not for everybody. So I get a little saucy and a little spicy and I get on my soapbox and I just try to, you know, convey that not everybody has to have a pink powder today, but tomorrow it's the yellow powder and next week it's going to be a green powder. Because don't you just start feeling so oversold and overwhelmed with all these things you're supposed to have and use and wear?
Yeah, I think that like people are getting, like people are wising up to it now. Like I really do, like, but people still, I feel like the people that cycle in are the people that are trying to go viral on the
trend. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right too. And I think a lot of it is played up for the, they just want to get that, you know, that popularity. And so they jump on the bandwagon. You're right.
Right. So it's like, and I mean, like, I'll jump on that sometimes too, because I'm like, I do want to see if this works. But like, you know, when I saw, what was the newest one? Jesus. Siren eyes. Weren't they like the, wasn't that like the, it was like a cat eye and then it was like the wolf something. Like,
oh, they like, had all these crazy names. And I was like, it's just a precision liner with a break. That's all it is. It's a liquid eye line with a break in the middle. But yeah, everything's got these groovy names now. And that siren eye lasted for like a week.
Yeah, right? It didn't really pop off the same. But that's what I'm saying. I think that people are becoming more like savvy to it. So I feel like that's why I didn't really pick up as much, because people are like, oh, but that was, we already did that one. Like people like almost like remembered. And also people were making videos being like, hey, did you remember?
Right. And I think also it was very hard. So yeah. That's only going to show up and be beautiful on certain eyes at certain angles. So if I'm sitting in front of my ring light at home and I've got the angle and I've got a nice deep set eye or a pretty forward set eye like you have, sure, I can rock the siren eye, but most people are not going to be able to do one of those and make it even and have it look that way. So I think right. that some friends, they're just not for everybody. Right. I'll just leave it at that.
Right. But then there's like things that like I just, you know, I saw, so like now people are doing, I'm seeing videos of people doing how they did their makeup in like the early 2000s with like the really like caked on face mapping, the really like dark cut crease, you know, that kind of look from the like, or maybe like late 2000s, I guess, like, you know, whatever it was. But I was like thinking to myself, I was like, but people still haven't grown out of like the face mapping. It's just like people are doing it a little bit differently. That's like one of my most frustrating things is that when people use like all the excess product, because just me as a makeup artist, it's becoming frustrating when I have a client and they want my makeup, me to do their makeup that way, but I'm achieving the same result. You know, things like nose contour, I made a video on this. Like I was like, I literally, when I do nose contour, it's like right in the, you know, kind of like by the eye sockets, like that little bit of carve. And like, I think that that's all most people mean, but like so many people are used to seeing that nose contour. And every time I see a nose contour in person, I always hate how it looks.
Yeah. It looks like shit. Right. And people look like they have dirty noses or brown noses. And that's the thing. We're being sold this idea of what we're supposed to look like, but that idea itself is manufactured. We're seeing it on through our screens. It's been filtered. It's incredibly well lit. Mm-hmm. And it's so many layers of product, you're no longer seeing the skin. And the few times I've done makeup like that on a client who's requested it, they're always like, oh my God, right? Because they don't want that much makeup. And in person, it looks like a crap load of makeup.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of my favorite videos of yours, which was like a light bulb moment for me, I couldn't figure out why I really didn't like using beauty blenders. Like I couldn't figure out why, because like I used to use them a lot. And then I just was noticing, I was like, I feel like this is just moving it around the face. I was like, I feel like the makeup doesn't stay on as much. Like, I feel like it wasn't like the makeup wasn't like melding into the skin. And then I went back to using brushes and I'm like, and then I went like, sometimes I'll go back to beauty blender, but you did a really cool video on showing like different sides of your face. You were using a beauty blender and a brush about how like beauty blender can like affect your makeup because of the water in it. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I thought that was just really cool.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that you had a light bulb moment from it. Because again, I think that we all kind of start picking up these habits from each other. And a lot of makeup artists will use beauty blenders. And there's so many problems with that, sanitation being the biggest one. But we have to remember that the products that we use, especially when you're using pro products, they're formulated to be on camera. They're formulated to wear a long time. They're very specifically made. And if you're adding water to that, everybody was wetting beauty blenders and then using that to apply these wax-based or silicone-based creams. And you have to think about what happens when I take water and I mix it with wax, or I mix it with silicone, or I mix it with oil. I mean, those things are not going to, they're not going to mix. And you end up with these textures on the skin that don't look right. And a lot of that is because we're adding an ingredient to foundation with the water or we're adding the texture of that beauty blender, and we're beating the silicone or the wax-based product with it so much that it starts breaking down what's naturally beautiful about the foundation. And so I think that's really the gist of that video that I was just trying to convey, is that, you know, you can't just add water to things and expect them to behave the way they're meant to behave. And you also have to look at the texture you're creating. And I did another video, and it might have been that one, Rachel, but I did another video or that one where I took the beauty blender and I like dragged it across my face, and people went nuts. They were like, that's not how you use a beauty blender. You're not supposed to drag it. You're supposed to press. That's it, yeah. I was like, it's a sponge. And a sponge is made to blend, and there are many ways to blend, right? But it was just like, I had done something that was so wrong with their sacred beauty blenders, their sacred sponges, and I really heard it. That was so funny.
Your comments mostly are positive, though. Like, are they? Because, like, I know some people, like, filter their comments. I'm like, I look at, like, your videos, and I'm like, everybody's so supportive of Terry. I'm like, go on. Like, is it mostly positive? Or do you get, like, was that, like, your one bout of, like, bad comments? Or do they come, like, sometimes?
So I would say 98% of the comments that I get on social media are beautifully positive and supportive and tremendously kind. But occasionally I will rattle somebody's cage. And most of the time when I get comments that are more negative, it's from someone who probably feels a little attacked by me and what I say, because I'll get things like, why won't you let people just do what they want if it makes them happy, or you're using it wrong. But the beauty blender really... That was probably the most kind of controversial any of my videos ever got. And although I did have one, I was doing a lot of face shape videos, and I did a square shaped face video with Olivia Wilde. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know she's an actress, right? But people who are fans of Harry Styles, I think is his name. he was in a band, but he's like a musician. Yes,
we know Harry Styles.
Okay, so people were fans of Harry Styles went insane on that video because I guess the two of them have some kind of relationship or have some kind of past.
Yes, they're together, yeah.
Okay, so that video has over 6 million hits.
Stop.
And it's not because of the content, it's because of Harry Styles fans getting on there and just talking about him.
That's so funny.
It was hysterical. And it was like, I didn't really understand what was happening. I was like, I'm getting a lot of action on this video, so I'm just going to let it ride. I'm not going to comment because I don't really know what they're talking about. And I had to reach out to my niece, and she was like, yeah, they're stans or something like that. So sometimes you don't know what you're gonna start, right?
That's so funny. Yeah, no, that's really funny. I'll have to go back and look, because I'm so curious now to see what was said. So one thing I just wanted to touch upon briefly when we were talking about color theory, I feel like something that's come to the forefront and always has been a conversation with professional makeup artists especially is how, like, knowing how to, like, color match every skin tone. And especially, I feel like every year on Fashion Week, we get videos from models about an experience backstage where someone messed up their hair or makeup, mm-hmm. Black models specifically. And I just feel like people really need to get, like, a grasp on color theory if they want to be, like, working as a makeup artist. Like, I feel like you shouldn't be, like, working unless you have that. And you can use, like, the flesh tone color wheel as practice if you don't have, like, models, like, in your area, you know, if you live somewhere where there's not that much diversity. Like, what do you recommend for someone who may not be able to, like, practice, like, you know, on an actual, like, face?
Well, I'd say if you have the wheel, I would try to create all those colors and see if you can get there. But I think one of the biggest, and you're right, with Fashion Week, we always see that one deep skin model come down the runway with the gray face, because she hasn't been properly color matched. And color matching is so important because every single artist who's out there working professionally should be able to work on a global range of skin tones. And I think that we get kind of pigeonholed in our community, especially if you're doing bridal or special events. You might always be working on kind of a limited range of skins. And then you'll get on a job and there'll be somebody who's really, really deep or really really light, or maybe has some really, really dark discoloration. We have to be able to address that. And so I think we all have to be training our eyes to be able to work on all skin tones, but also to understand what we're looking at. And if you have the flesh tone color wheel and you're in an area where you don't have access to really deep or really discolored skins, start practicing on the wheel. Make every color on that wheel, custom blend it, or find a foundation shade that's close, and then see if you can get there using color correctors, using red, yellow, blue, black, and white. One of the things I did recently, well, I say recently, it's been a year now, I created a class called Color Match, which I have on my online platform. And it's a beast of a class because it is literally 8 hours long, 8 hours of tedious color theory, so that you can learn how to train your eye. And I think that we have to start looking at skin as a universal component of all humans. And instead of thinking of white skin and black skin and olive skins and, you know, red skins, we just have to look at skin and say, okay, skin is brown. We're all kind of the same color with all of these infinite variations. Mm-hmm. And address each skin as it sits in your chair based on its depth and based on its undertone. Mm-hmm. Phew, that one was long.
Oh, I love that. And I think that, like, what my main takeaway from when I took your course, do you still have that course available that I took during the pandemic? What's the name of that course?
It's called Color Theory and Flesh Tone, and it's a 45-minute, 4-lesson class on what is color theory, basics of color theory, the principles of color theory, and then how to use color theory in skin with the flesh tone color wheel. It's a great basic class. It's easy to take. It's kind of a short and sweet. And then I've been adding more classes to that platform. So the color match is new. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's tedious, but it's like, why is color in skin? How does color express itself in skin? And what color are we? And how do we create that color? And how do we manipulate that color? It's a really good class. And I've actually got a lot of film makeup artists taking it right now. So, but I have added other things. So there's now a face shape class on there, and there's going to be an eye shape class, and coming soon, and I'll tell you guys, because y'all will be the first to hear it, there will be a hairstyling class for makeup artists. So I'm really trying to grow that online platform. So there's a lot of really good basic material for people.
Basic training. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like my main takeaway, I feel like, because when I was doing like corrective makeup, like trying to correct like discoloration, like the under eyes, or, you know, darkness around the mouth, like if it's like a deeper skin model, was I was trying to like use like the correctors like on their own, whereas you teach it as use a brown that has this undertone to correct instead of laying like a straight coral, for example, down, or like a straight, like, you know, pink, making like a flesh tone out of that color with that undertone, and you end up using less product and your makeup look a lot more flawless and cohesive without as much effort.
So the method that I kind of accidentally created when I started teaching with the wheel was that everything I do is in browns. So if all my correction looks like someone's skin, then I know my final product will look like someone's skin. And there are occasions where I do go into pure color for correction. If the correction is no longer skin toned, then I will use pure color to correct it. But as long as I can find the discoloration on the wheel and it is a brown, then I correct with a brown. And I think it's made my makeup prettier because I'm not having to correct my overcorrections. And I think my skin looks more like skin because I'm not having to do as much work on it.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it looks less cakey because you're not like working so many layers in.
Right.
Quick question for you. Maybe you should make a video on this. When do we use green, like a green color corrector? Because like literally I've never ever used just like a straight green on a client's face. Have you ever used it, or do you think that those are overhyped?
So I hate green as a corrector. Okay. And I will tell you why. This is the color theory explanation. Most of the red that we're trying to cover in the skin or neutralize in the skin, if you really analyze it, it's not red. It's a cool red. It's red pushing into blue. It's violet, blue violet, even red violet. It's not until that red mixes with blue that we start getting that discoloration on the skin, like broken caps, acne, and things like that. So green neutralizes red. But if you look at cool reds, if you look at violet and violet red and even blue violet, you're looking at more of a yellow based corrector. So I always correct red tones with yellow, because green is going to pull the cool reds out of your acne or your rosacea, but it's also going to pull the warm red out of your skin, and you're left with zombie gray. So it's better to correct the cool reds, leave the warm red, which is a natural tone in the skin, and it'll always look more like skin. All right. That was my long explanation. I hope it made sense.
No, I love that. And like, that's like a huge, I feel like that's going to be like a huge takeaway for people, because like literally like I've never used that. And I was just like, why does this even exist? Like, I feel like you need to like make like a video on like why we don't need like green color correctors, or you could just use like, in what instance maybe would you use like an olive corrector?
So olive is tricky. If I had something in my chair that was a warmer red and color theory told me that I needed green to correct it, I would still break it into two steps. I would still start with yellow as a corrector, or a yellow tone brown, and then decide if I need a blue tone brown. Because again, blue is going to pull all your warmth out of that skin, and most of the time you don't need it. So whenever my correction is a secondary color, I always break it apart, because it's too easy to overcorrect. And you know, when you overcorrect, you get kind of this flat non-skin spot. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh shit, that looks like gray, white, blue, I don't know. And so then you're trying to make it look like skin again. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Yeah. So like, at least like now we're going to like maybe like the impact that we have here is that we're going to stop using like green color correctors, and people are going to be able to like at least use a couple things that they heard here. But I highly encourage you biddies to check out Terry's courses, because like this is just like the scraping of the tip of the iceberg. What we're covering, it doesn't even go into like all of the magic that Terry has to share with you. So please check out her courses. What is, by the way, you were mentioning, like, do you usually use creams in your kit? Like, what's your favorite like foundation palette like that you carry?
My favorite makeup, if I could only use one, I would use MAC Pro's Fard Cream, because it's a wax-based cream and it's very similar to RCMA, but it's a little less wet feeling. RCMA to me has more of a slickness, and the MAC Pro is, it almost feels a little thick when you first put it on, but you can paint it on in a thin layer and it's super natural and it won't melt and it won't break apart. I love that. So that's my very, very favorite. And then I love the HD liquid that I get made from MAC Pro. It's the most beautiful liquid makeup I've ever used. So those are my two favorites, and they're part of my private label line. So I love them so much. And at the time, when I discovered them, you couldn't buy them in the States. And so I was like, I'm bringing these to the, you know, USA. But I also love, especially if you're working with a really broad range for really deep skins, I love Senna. Her HD cream to powder formulation is beautiful on deep skins. And then I have RCMA and the Graftovian palettes that I'll use occasionally. But I think the Senna is probably my favorite for deep skins other than MAC Pro.
Awesome. I use the RCMA, and then I have Vision Cream Cover are like my two.
Oh, I love Vision Cream. I just don't carry it. I'm not as familiar with it, but yeah. I've worked with it and I think it gives you such good color and such good coverage.
Yeah, and it's like good to manipulate into different, you know, different finishes. So it's like easier, you know, to just carry that in my kit plus the RCMA. That's what I carry. But yeah, all along the same lines. So, you know, we always play like a little would you rather. So have you played would you rather before? It's pretty like self-explanatory.
No.
Okay, so I just give you an option of like, would you rather this or would you rather that? And you have to choose and we'll talk about it. So I know you like mentioned a lot of creams. So I don't know if I'll know the answer, but I like had this down. So would you rather only use cream and liquid products in your makeup application or powders? And we're talking about like your complexion and eye, not including like lips, not including like mascara, but like eyeshadows and foundation and blush and things like that.
I would choose creams. I could do an entire makeup with creams. I can even I could do eyeshadow. I can even do lipstick, mascara. I can do everything in cream.
Yeah. It's I love cream.
Most versatile.
Yeah. And you don't like that's, I started working with creams mostly like, and I like how I don't have to like worry about fallout as much. Makes my life a little bit easier.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
One more question. I do want to know because like I made this like, cause we were talking about earlier your like, you know, your gripes and like spicy hot takes. I have my own series. It's like unpopular makeup artist opinions. Although I just realized that like literally it, everyone's like, I think the same way. No one's been like fighting me on it. I'm like, okay, I guess they're not like unpopular. The whole thing about like setting your makeup with powder and stuff like that. Like I talked about how a lot of like foundations like self-set because I feel like a lot of people like are like, you have to set with powder. You have to set with powder or like double layers of powder and setting spray. Like how do you feel about setting and like powder and like as far as your base goes?
So I don't do a lot of setting anymore. When I first got in the industry, especially when I moved over into production where I was working with cameras, we did full sets with powder puffs and a white or translucent invisible powder on everybody. You had to. And we were just moving into HD at that time. And powder was like a savior. You had to be able to get rid of shine on the skin. Now, because formulations are so good and my prep is so good, I can prep a skin based on the wear I want that makeup to have and the skin condition that I'm working on. And then I don't have to powder if I don't want to. So I use powder as a spot treatment and I do thin layers of product and I very, very, very rarely do any kind of setting spray within my makeup because I think that that is a disaster. But I will occasionally do a finishing spray on the top. Mm-hmm. So I think setting has become this weird social media trend where we have artists that are putting 10, 15 layers on the skin, setting sprays sandwiched in between those layers. And every time we do that, you're breaking the makeup down and you're getting further away from pretty skin. Right? So you have to ask yourself, do I want pretty makeup or do I want pretty skin? Because if your client wants to look like she has really pretty makeup, then yeah, layer baby, set it all, spray it away. But if you want somebody who wants to look like they have pretty skin, you've got to practice restraint.
I love that. That's such a good way to like put it. And like, I love that. I'm gonna have to like, I'm not gonna steal it. I'm gonna give you credit. Of course, I'm gonna credit you. But like, I love the way that you explain that. Pretty makeup versus pretty skin, because a lot of people do want to like look like they're wearing makeup, and like that's fine too. You just need to like know your client and know what the expectation is. So Terry, I appreciate you so much for being here. You've been incredible. Like I said, biddies, please check all the show notes out about all the stuff that we were talking about. But Terry, before we sign off, can you let the biddies know where they can find you on social media, anything else you want to plug, or any parting advice that you have for the biddies about anything we talked about or otherwise? You know, we have a lot of pro makeup artists and aspiring makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts that listen. So hearing it from you always is like just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. Absolutely. So my social media is Terry Tomlinson Makeup. And I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok, mostly TikTok. I have my spicy moments. I do a lot of lives and I try to post content every day, every week. So those are my social media accounts. My websites, which I have way too many of them, but they can all be accessed through terrytomlinson.com or makeuptrainingacademy.com. If you hit one of my websites, you'll hit them all because they're all interlinked. I think that in my online classes are at Makeup Class Online. So if you're interested in learning more about color theory, I highly recommend that you go check out what I have there. And there's different price ranges. You can buy the whole program where you get everything that's coming and everything that's on the platform. So there's a lot of options there. And I think that covers all the ways to reach me. For all the biddies out there, especially you all who are starting your career or really trying to find yourself in the career, this is my advice to you. Remember that you're in it for the long haul. Developing and establishing yourself as a professional craftsperson takes a lot of time and it takes skill. And you've got to get that skill and work towards that skill and pay your dues and get known and get to a place where you can be successful. And so many makeup artists, especially the ones I train, they think in 6 months they're going to be working on a Marvel movie. And that's just not the case. It's a craft. So we have to really practice to get skilled enough to work on that Marvel film. And then you've got to meet the right people and be at the right location and get the hours under your belt to be good enough to work on that Marvel film. So if you're starting a career in makeup, make your plan for the long haul. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, so that you can kind of take those steps in bite-sized chunks to get to where you want to go. The people that seem to want to do it in a year, they almost never stay in the business because they lose faith, they can't afford to stay, they kind of lose their gumption, I think. So that's my advice to you all.
I love that. Thank you so much, Terry.
Well, you're welcome. And the other thing I would say is it's all about community, right? So one of the analogies I used once, and I thought it was brilliant, it just popped out of me, was that when you're trying to climb the ladder by yourself and you're kicking everybody else off the ladder because you want to get to the top, you're on the ladder by yourself. And then when you need help, there's nobody on the ladder with you. And if something happens on the ladder, there's nobody to help you. But if you let everybody else on the ladder with you and you kind of push each other up as you go, then you all get to the ladder and you have all that support. So definitely get to know the other makeup artists around you, just like I have. I mean, I met you, Rachel, and here we are doing a little bitty podcast, which I'm super excited about.
Here we are today. I saw you at the makeup show. I was like, I gotta introduce myself in person because I haven't gotten a chance to meet you in person. I was like, I was a little starstruck. I loved it. But just like everything you said is incredible. I appreciate you being here. And we will talk to you biddies next week.
Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head biddy in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Biddies. Remember, you are a badass fucking biddy. See you next week.